The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Shakespeare, in the very famous play A Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare wrote, "Lord, what fools these mortals be." And with that, my name is Alex McFarland. We welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and I are here going through the book that will help us not be foolish, and that's the book of Proverbs, God's book of wisdom.
It does. And let me just open with one line you did with Shakespeare. Let me do it with Solomon, okay?
Okay.
Chapter 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger."
Proverbs 15:1, isn't
it? Oh, if we could learn that. Alex, I heard something many years ago when I was younger, and it said, "Do you listen to learn or do you listen to answer?"
Okay? Big difference.
I'm guilty, but here's what you can do. If you'll listen to learn, you can give the answer later. Okay?
That's true.
That is true. But if you all you're doing is listening to answer, you've been in debates, and I know you have to be quick, and you have to listen, and you have to have your conversation ready. But on a one-to-one basis, when two people are talking, and it's not in front of everybody listening to see what they're saying to make their point, how important is it to listen?
Oh, it's very important. It's especially important in a marriage. And in fact, that's one of the things when there's marital conflict, one or more of the spouses, and usually the women have this complaint, and legitimately so. Wives that are not happy with their marriage often say, "He doesn't listen to me." Yeah. And we need to be listeners. As we begin to work on this study, and we've been going through the book of Proverbs, which is 31 chapters, and to do it in four lessons is a bit of a challenge, but I think we're covering some of the really important highlights of Proverbs. But I was reading a book, Bert, I saw the title and it intrigued me, and it said, "Profiles in Folly."
History. Not Profiles in Courage,
no.
But Profiles in Folly. Okay.
That's right.
I wanted to make that sure that I had the right one.
History's Worst Decisions and Why They Went Wrong. And I bought this book and I've been reading it. It's a very serious historical book. It's a book of history of some of the people that have been infamous through history and they made bad decisions. And I don't want to go into that book, but the point that I noticed as I read men that have made not only some just blunders, but out-and-out tragedies. They were unteachable. They were convinced in their own inability to make a mistake. They're very stubborn, very headstrong. And I notice these are things Proverbs warns against. Proverbs, as we get into God's handbook on how to live wisely, be teachable, be open, be a listener. Understand that you don't have all the answers. And understand that we need something beyond just our own opinion and bias. And we don't want to be in the folly hall of fame, do we?
We want to
be a person of wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." Mm-hmm. Now, in this section, we're going to have to go pretty fast and pretty far, but In the pathway of righteousness, there's no death. The Bible says, "He who is born of God does not sin." Now, we say, but wait, we do sin and we do die. But really, if we're born of God, righteous in Christ, we really are holy and we have everlasting life, don't we?
We do.
Aren't we?
So what we're seeing is Proverbs were written not only to reveal who God is, but also to help us know Him and to follow Him and honestly have His mind. And you say, oh, that sounds a little bit mystic. Well, I'd refer back, if you would, to two places, both of them in Philippians, Alex. One is, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Okay? Have His mind. But also Philippians 4:8, it says, "Think on these things." And when you saturate yourself with the book of Proverbs, and I believe you should, at least for a season, saturate yourself in the book of Proverbs for a season, I'm telling you, a lot of wisdom will come your way. And I, again, a verse that I believe is so important is 15:3. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." God is watching. I could say that. God is watching. What men think they're doing in secret, a lot of times will be made open. So here's why I brought that up. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said this, that one of the ways that he tried to keep his mind clean, free of immorality, was thinking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross every 15 minutes. Mm. He said that does bring him back. It clears away any of the forward thinking that he would do that would be immoral. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So here's where we start. In the book of Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we start with a man and how he thinks and what he thinks. Is the book of Proverbs helping a man do that? Does it help him in his thought processes if he'll saturate himself in the Word of God here in Proverbs?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. We are to renew our mind with God's truth.
Amen.
And Proverbs will help you do that. We've quoted William Lyon Phelps on this program a number of times. He was one of the presidents of Yale University and a very godly man. This is many years ago. But he said, as much as we need a college education, even more so a Bible education, our founding fathers like Benjamin Franklin said that the book of Proverbs was the statesman's manual. And I think about Daniel Webster and Benjamin Franklin and others of our leaders that praised the book of Proverbs. So let's go on and let's talk about some of the life situations that are dealt with in 15 through 20, 21, 22. As you're reading this, doesn't it amaze you, Bert, how Proverbs accurately assesses human nature?
Oh, me. He does. And this one does it. And I'm just picking some. And anybody could do this in the book of Proverbs as you go through it. But chapter 16, verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Okay,
yes.
What's going to happen to your thoughts if you're not committed to the Lord, Alex?
They'll be scattered.
They'll be scattered, and the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways.
That's right.
And that's what we see today in a lot of ways. Pulpits, Washington, D.C., state houses, city hall, so much stability, and it's like they're double-speaking, okay? But here it says, commit your works to the Lord. I commit my work to you. I want to be led by you, and your thoughts will be established. They'll be on a good foundation. And that's what the book of Proverbs helps you to do, is find a good foundation for your life.
Well, I saw a saying on a wall. Somebody said, I'm down to my last nerve, and doggone it, you've got on it. But it says in verse 7 of Proverbs 16, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you're stressed and you're fractious and having controversy with people, focus on being in right relationship to the Lord, and the Spirit of God will help you be in right relationship to others. I know you've seen the illustration about if we'll get our heart right vertically, God will help our relationships be right horizontally.
Chapter 16 is so full, it's hard to just pick one. I've got to go to verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, and then 15, better to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
These are famous. I mean, these sayings, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, these are just part of the DNA of our consciousness, aren't they?
They are.
I heard these things from my parents and grandparents growing up. We're not to be humble. Now, I mean, we're not to be proud. We are to be humble. By the way, on the internet, people are always posting videos, and there are a lot of videos about karma. And I don't believe in karma, this thing that there's this force in the universe. But people are always posting videos where somebody will do something very cruel or very arrogant or very prideful, like they'll, you know, throw water on somebody and it'll fly back in their face or something like that. And that's an example of how Proverbs warns against suffering at our own hands. I mean, we do things that are sinful or selfish, and it comes back on us, doesn't it?
It does. And again, one right after another. But I'm bringing up verse 31 of 16 just for my own benefit, Alex. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, okay?
Okay, yeah.
I arrived early, okay? No, but what this does, it does show you if you can combine wisdom with experience. I said this earlier in one of the earlier programs, Alex. Combining experience with wisdom is one of the greatest things that you can have. So in your life, yes, understand that you're young, but you can still have wisdom. But you can be old and not have wisdom, okay? So let a man, if he lacks wisdom, he asks of God.
Yes.
He reads the word, concentrates on Proverbs, asks God to help him to deal with his sin so that the wisdom can come in. It's hard to contain both of those at the same time, okay?
Yeah.
The sin is what I want, okay?
Yeah.
The sin of pride, of self-righteousness, of egotism. But God wants to come in and bring his wisdom. So sometimes we have to empty ourselves before we can be full. Isn't that right?
Well, verse 31, the silver head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Isn't that something? Now, to be older, to be old, let's just say, let's say, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. I meet a lot of people nowadays that are in their 90s. Our culture prides itself on youth, you know. And by the way, I was talking with a pastor last week who was trying to find a church, and he said, I've committed the ultimate sin. I've turned 55. In other words, if you're past 50, many nowadays think you're not worth anything because only youth is valuable. But according to God's perspective, maturity is a wonderful thing. To be advanced in years, to be old and yet have righteousness and wisdom, according to God, that's a pretty precious thing. I think that just illustrates, you know, our fixation on youth as the only desirable thing. And by the way, nowadays we get surgery and Botox and people, I'll see these people that have had plastic surgery and bless their heart, they look a whole lot worse than if they just let aging take its course.
Yeah.
But it shows how different our perspective is from that of God.
Before we go to the first break, let me share this with you. And I think it's chapter 17, verse 10. Reproof is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Listen, be that kind of person that you learn when
That's
people
powerful,
come
isn't it?
To you and say, I know when I first started doing this radio program, Jeff Reed was the guy that was producing it.
Right.
And I told him, I said, Jeff, I've not done radio live like this. I used to do a pre-recording, but not live like this. And I said, I need your help. And at the end of every program, I'd go to him and say, what can I do? And he has really helped me. I haven't arrived. I'm still learning. But, you know, that was be teachable. Isn't that what it's saying?
It's better to take a word of correction than to have to be beaten with a stick 100 times. That's what Proverbs is saying. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper, the American Family Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll continue in the book of Proverbs.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast, facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Welcome back, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. I do want to say that you can get this study And a book to go with it as well. I wrote a devotional book on Proverbs that was published by Focus on the Family, and then we're recording these audios. And you can call the ministry or go on afastore.net and find this. If you Google, you know, Proverbs or Exploring the Word, Proverbs, Bert and Alex on afastore.net, you'll find it. But, Bert, part of the reason that we just felt so led to do this, and we're going to have to go quickly because you can't do the 31 chapters justice in four short lessons, but it's basically just a little appetizer to give you a thirst for wisdom, because we need wisdom. I think our culture right now is very unwise because we're farther and farther drifting away from the godliness of our founding fathers. And the wisest thing we could do is to really humble ourselves and turn back to God.
What I love about the book of Proverbs is, and I know it's not taught very much, is the relationships that's in it. A father giving, you know, advice to a son, encouraging his son to take the words of his mother. You know, it's generational. It's Solomon handing down what God has taught him to the next generation, to the next generation. And I think there's a verse that demonstrates that, Alex. It's in chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Mm. I'm a grandfather now, and I'm telling you, there is something about that third generation from me and seeing them. And I am telling you, I just want to take this time for grandparents to take time to invest in their grandchildren. You, Alex, how many times your testimony has been about your two grandmothers and how they invested themselves in your life? You know, Jan and I have the four grandchildren right now, may get more, and we love to invest our lives in them, sharing ourselves. And, you know, there's this that Dr. Dobson did, and it was from a lady. It says, you know, the importance of grandparenting, and there's a line in it about why grandparents are so good, and one of them was they're the only ones that have the time. Mm. You know, parents are out making a living. They're running them here and there, and a lot of times when they're able to stay with grandmother or grandfather or both of them in a situation where they have more time— let me just encourage all the grandparents out there to invest your life in them. Tell them the stories that when you were saved, tell them the stories when God spoke to you. Let those stories go from generation to generation. Alex, I do believe that the book of Proverbs, I'm not saying it's a hidden purpose, but I do believe that's one of the purposes of it, is passing down what we know from God to the next and the next and the next generation.
Well, there's just so much here, even some humorous things. Chapter 17 closes out, and it says, "He who has knowledge spares his words." In other words, don't talk too much.
A closed mouth catches no flies is another way.
Good word. Yeah. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit, but this is priceless. Verse 28, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. In other words, even an ignorant person, if he keeps his mouth shut, some are going to think he's wisdom. And he that shuts his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. You know, there's a lot you can project just by saying nothing.
I'm telling you, again, wisdom. And look at that. You and I both, when you were sharing that, you were smiling. When I was hearing it, I was smiling. And so the book of Proverbs has that in it, and it doesn't mean that it's light. It means that it's true. Now, look at chapter 18, mm-hmm. and again, it goes back to contrast and everything that a person does. But I wanted to read chapter 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. I want to speak a word about isolation and the importance of accountability. Okay, the accountability that a person has with another, Alex, is so vital. And sometimes we want to be our own boss. There's this commercial that's on television right now. I don't remember exactly what it's advertising, but it's showing this guy who's his own boss, and he gives himself a raise. He does this, and he does that. And that may sound good, but in honesty, not having accountability is one of the most foolish things, and isolating yourself is one of the most foolish things that you can do.
Well, do you know what? Josh McDowell gave me a thing from the Mayo Clinic a few years ago because we were working on a big youth conference. And the Mayo Clinic basically put out a study called Hardwired to Connect, the Case for Authoritative Communities, that basically says we humans are made for relationships. Mm. And when we're isolated, whether it's just being away from people and not really having meaningful human relationships, or when we don't have accountability, I mean, we can at best get stagnant, but at worst really get some kind of a warped personality. And so we were made for relationships.
And that's what the book of Proverbs, one of the things it's about,
exactly,
is for relationships, isn't it?
And part of the pathway of a good relationship is, these three things: trust, honesty, respect. To be honest, to be forthright. Look down there in verse 6 of chapter 18, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. What does that mean? He picks a fight.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a very litigious society. I mean, you can just sneeze and somebody will sue you. Proverbs has a lot to say about resolution and making things right without a fight, without coming to blows, without having to file a lawsuit. Isn't it true that when God is leading the lives of people, and when we're our heart is toward righteousness and seeking the good, and not selfishness and not gain? I mean, we can resolve things.
It does. That's the truth in the relationships that you have here. Now, I love verse 10 because it kind of takes a break,
right?
Okay? The book of Proverbs has much to say about relationships with one another.
One of my favorite songs.
Exactly. So what happens, Alex, is right in here in the middle of all this advice, these warnings, is there's something vital, and it's a relationship with the Lord. And I love it as well. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. There is a song that somebody penned. I love songwriters that can do such things as that. They see this verse and they make a song. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now, the purpose of the tower, they were usually at the corner of a city, okay? Set up a tower, and you would see that tower when you were coming into a city, because back in those days, the wilderness from city to city, the chances of being robbed and hurt was reality. So when you'd see the walls of a city, it gave you hope. But there was usually a tower that stuck up a little bit higher. The watchman would be there, and it says, when you see the tower, what do? You run to it, because most of the time, guess what you're doing? You're knowing of danger around you.
Right.
Listen, the only thing I can say is make a beeline to Jesus. I don't care what you're doing, where you are. Come to Christ. Alex, there's a number that people can call. We haven't talked about a lot of salvation in these segments, but right now, I think it would be appropriate for asking the people if they've ever come to the place in their life when they know for certain that they're not right with God, that they can get right with God. They can repent, turn away from their sin, ask Christ to forgive them of their sin, and ask Christ to come into their life. Listen, greatest thing that ever happened to me was coming to Christ.
Yes.
I can't beat it. And if you're looking for that in your life, there's a number that you can call. It is 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM, and there's someone who is there that will help you come to know Christ. Because I want to tell you, reading the book of Proverbs without a relationship will help you.
Exactly.
But reading the book of Proverbs with this relationship with God through Jesus Christ will make it come alive, won't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Folks, as we read on in 18, 19, and 20, there's just more advice for godly living, practical advice, family, relationships, leadership, being industrious. But I want to hone in. I know we're just going so quickly, but I've got to give us a verse here that talks about not refusing to chasten your children. Proverbs 19, 18. Chasten thy son where there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, let me read you a quote. There's a conservative columnist named P.J. O'Rourke. I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know anything really about his spiritual condition. But he's talking about how nowadays we live in a culture of spoiled children. The spoiled child, miserable as all spoiled children are. And by the way, he's comparing this to liberal political philosophy. The socialism that we're going down, the liberalism, he says, as the core of liberalism is the spoiled child, miserable as all spoiled children are, unsatisfied, demanding, ill-disciplined, despotic, and useless. Liberalism is a philosophy of sniveling brats, end of quote. Now, that's a hard quote, but here's the thing. A child doesn't want to be disciplined. A child doesn't want to have to be taught things and grow. But the Bible says in Proverbs, we need to discipline our children while there is still hope. A couple of things I want to say is we're in a culture where the children call the shots generally. I mean, I was in a store the other day and I was watching a child hit their parents. The parents were just standing there. According to Proverbs 19:19, does there reach a point where there's no more hope? If we've let a child feed on the selfish, sinful nature so long, does it just get to the point where he's not really teachable much anymore?
Alex, one of the characteristics of a nation, I would say, in destruction, is disobedient to parents. Mm. And it is a dangerous thing because it's a generational thing. The home is the most valuable place there is for evangelism. Not the church, although the church is great. Not the marketplace, always. Not the airwaves on AFR. But the place that God had in mind where evangelism could be really displayed more than it is in the home. You was reading that in chapter 19, verse 18. I couldn't help but think of what Josh McDowell said. I know he's one of your heroes, one of mine. And he was a mentor to you, and I got to meet him and talk with him, but you spent time with him. But I haven't gotten over this statement yet. He talks about the children in relationship with the parents. Rules without relationship will lead to rebellion.
Yeah.
But the opposite of that is true as well. A relationship without rules will lead to rebellion as well. You need relationship with limits, don't you?
Well, we do. And it's in the home that the gospel is really shared. Part of the reason that our nation is becoming just a lawless, darkened nation is because of the breakdown of the family. So I got to be a preacher. I'm going to get up on my soapbox now.
Go, brother. I'll amen you. Go ahead.
Let's go to Proverbs 20.
Amen.
Very famous.
Yep.
It says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If drink would make better people, we would have seen it by now.
We would have. The 11th commandment is, thou shalt not consume alcohol. That is not there. The Bible condemns and says that the misuse of alcohol, which leads to drunkenness, is sin. But I can say with the same voice, the Bible warns you against the use of alcohol.
It really does.
It really, and here it is.
And let me just say this, folks. You might be listening to this show and you're recovering from the bender you were on the night before. I've counseled with a lot of people that they get ensnared because they get depressed. And alcohol is a depressant. Look, if you've been trying to find some comfort or some peace in getting a buzz or drinking, look, it's not made you happy, has it? Be honest with yourself. So if alcohol has never really improved your lot in life, why do you think it's going to the next time? Forget it. That thing that your heart is seeking is not going to be found in a bottle. It's going to be found in a relationship with Christ.
I
had to say that.
Amen. I agree. Years ago, we were trying to do something in our church that would, evangelism. I want evangelism. And, at Christmas time, people think of church and come to church.
Sure.
And so we decided we'd do something more than, quote, you remember when they called them cantatas?
Yes.
And they were
Christmas
beautiful.
Christmas cantatas.
Yeah, and they were beautiful music, but sometimes you wonder where the meat, I mean, that's me now, I'd wonder where the meat is. And people love drama. So anyway, You know I'm an Andy Griffith fan. I love Andy Griffith's show. Grew up on it, still watch it, love it today. So we did. We got permission, did Andy Griffith or Mayberry Christmas. We had to figure out what to do with Otis. You that are not Andy Griffith fans, Otis was the town drunk. We didn't want him to be drunk on stage, but we knew leaving Otis out of the mix would not be good to those that are Andy Griffith fans. Alex, right? Am I right?
That's right.
So anyway, my wife came up with a good line for Otis. He'd gotten sober, and here it is. And Barney brags on Otis about him, you know, his life. And Otis in the line says, my wife came up with it, says, Barney, since I've given up the spirits for the spirit, life sure is better.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great?
Good. That is really good.
I'm telling you, if you're looking to help your life with alcohol, wine, beer, listen, again, there's a better spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God.
Wow.
You don't have hangovers from that, do you?
No, you don't. Verse 22, do not say, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he will save you. This is Alex McFarland with Bert Harper. Stay tuned. Our look at Proverbs will continue after this brief break. We hope you'll be there with us.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Welcome back. You know, Proverbs is amazing in its knowledge, not only of human nature, but even the human body. Chapter 20 closes out in verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Do you know what? Just as our physical body heals from a wound, and you know, you might get bruised, but a wound, there you got a purple mark on your body from a bruise, but that's really part of the healing taking place. If we will let the Word of God pierce our heart and our consciousness, just like we physically heal and get better, we spiritually deepen, mature, and grow, don't we? It's just a powerful, powerful thing there. Well, 21, 22, 23, 24, more practical advice for living, more of the truisms that God has given Solomon. And it talks about, you know, some of Hezekiah's men who wrote down some of these things. And we get just practical wisdom here, 24, 25 up through 29. We get relationships with kings, relationships with neighbors around us, relationships with our enemies, and even relationships with yourself. You know, sometimes we have trouble getting along with those around us because we've got turmoil on the inside of our own heart.
You know, relationship with yourself. Let me throw this at you, Alex, and see, as you said that, it made me think of this. You know, as if a lost man, he has one nature, okay? It is a sinful nature. You know, in the King James Version, it calls it a natural. You're a natural man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because we're led by the flesh.
We're led by the flesh. Carnality, you know. But then once you become born again, you have a new nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, the whole issue is the old nature, is it still there? Yes, and that's the reason Paul said you subjugate that nature. Matter of fact, he said you buffet it, you know. So here you have a relationship. Now, listen to this, a relationship with yourself. How do I do it? I got this old nature and this new nature. How in the world do I handle it? Listen, that old nature must be, I would say, put down, deprived. Let me give you the verse for it, see what you think. John the Baptist said, was it in John 3:30? He must increase and I must decrease. Is that the relationship we need to have with ourselves, where the old nature is decreased and the new nature that is in Christ is increased. Is that what? That's part of the relationship with ourselves that we need to deal with, isn't it?
Well, that's right. That's right. That more and more we let the Spirit of God control our lives. And I've just got to say that you'll never get there unless you're feeding on the Word of God. The athlete has to work out. If you're going to get in shape, you've got to hit the gym. I mean, I really don't think a born-again Christian can ever become everything that God designs without having a program of spiritual nutrition, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
And nowadays we're so busy. And let me just say this, folks, and this is the teacher in me coming out. Read your Bible. Now, I know we've all got mobile devices and we've got tablets, and fair enough, great. But more learning takes place when you physically hold a book. There's some psychologists have well documented when you're holding a book and you're handling the pages, you have deeper understanding, you have better recall, you're more likely to remember it. And raise your kids. In all of our electronic devices, don't leave out books, because you'll learn more. And then, of course, which book? Well, God's book. I want to read a verse from chapter 25. He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down with no walls, verse 28.
Wow.
In the ancient world, for a city to be defenseless was a very disgraceful thing. And a city broken down, it was very vulnerable. I mean, anything could happen, from animals coming in to ravage the food stores to an enemy coming in to take over and steal. If you have no self-control, and one of the things we're talking about in all of these, you know, dealing with kings and dealing with neighbors and even dealing with fools, you know, dealing with yourself and dealing with people that are just dangerous, hard to get along with. The 20s of Proverbs, you know, 22 through 29, it's the core of it is self-control.
Wow.
Being able to control yourself. And Bert, part of the reason I wanted to bring that out is because we're living in a time when self-control and what we call deferred gratification. You don't go in debt. Save up money. Work. You don't have to buy that thing today. You know what my daddy used to say to me whenever we were at a store once, I was about 10, I saw a bicycle I wanted. And it was this red bicycle, and I thought if I didn't get that bicycle, I was going to die. I physically will slump to the floor dead if I don't get that bicycle. And my dad said, son, that's not the only one they ever made. He said, let's go. And you know what I did? I ended up working, and I got a different bike. I got a green bicycle, a Columbia, if you remember those. But here's my point. Deferred gratification, self-control, the ability to wait, the ability to say no to yourself. Proverbs puts a premium on these, but we don't so much in our culture nowadays, do we?
We don't. And parents should lead the way. Okay, if they ask you to do that, that child not only should see or hear the words, they should see the actions. With that in mind, I'm going to jump back to chapter 22, verse 6, because when I read it, you'll know why.
Okay.
We've been talking about it being for the family and generational. Here it is. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? I say this. This is a principle with a possibility.
Yes.
Okay, Alex? It is a promise, but most of the God's promises, you don't put buts on them, but this is one that there is one, because every child is going, God has no grandchildren, okay?
That's right.
And so train up a child in the way he should go. As I understand it, in the way he is bent. You need to know that child's personality. One of the greatest things you can do is know your children. There's been several people that's talked about personalities. One of the guys, his name is not with me right now, but he wrote a book about are you the firstborn, the middleborn, or the, you know,
Yeah.
And so where's your child? Know your child. Study your children. Train up a child in the way they're bent. You know, just because you have 19 doesn't mean they're all alike. It means they're all different.
Yeah.
Okay? So train that child up in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I do believe that if you'll train him up, he'll never get away from his teaching. That's the promise.
Yes.
He'll never get away from his teaching. But it may be a while before he comes back to it.
Yeah.
Is it possible some never come back to it?
Well, it's possible because we have a sin nature, and ultimately we're all accountable.
God has no grandchildren.
But I believe it's so important when you not only say it, but live it and then pray.
I believe it's more likely to happen.
Yes. And that's why, folks, go to church. And go to church. I'm old school, but look, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the world's getting worse and worse, and we're going to church less and less. Even Donald Trump, Tim Wildman and I were in a meeting a week ago with Donald Trump.
From this recording,
when we recorded this, and you can say what you want to about Donald Trump, but do you know what he harped on? And I know he was in a room full of preachers, but I was watching him, and I think he was sincere. He said, part of what's wrong is we don't go to Sunday school anymore. He said when he was growing up, he said it was no discussion, you went to Sunday school. And he said, I've been reading about how Sunday school attendance has been going down. And I was sitting there amazed. Now, you can think what you want, but here was Donald Trump, and we were with him several hours. He spent 10, 15 minutes saying how we need to reinstitute Sunday school. Now,
wow.
I'm saying that because, look, if you immerse your family in the things of God, and then you model it and live it yourself, and you pray and intercede. So you're going to church, there's scripture, you're living it, they know it's real, and you're praying. You see, as they grow up, you train up the child in the way they should go, that will become kind of the background music of their heart and life.
Man.
Bert, when I went away to college and in the dormitory, all the guys are drinking beer and carrying on, and so did I for a while. I wasn't saved yet. But I want to tell you something. In my heart, I felt bad. I knew it was wrong.
Because of what you were taught earlier?
And I knew my daddy, if he showed up at the right time and saw me with a beer in my hand, would have taken a stick and beaten me, and it would have been good for me. You know what? In that season, when I was flirting with stupidity, deep in my heart, I did remember the teachings of my parents and grandparents, and it was part of what God used to bring me.
I believe that. Scripture shares that. Even when they're old, they will remember it. Just talking about Sunday school, just real quickly. When I was growing up, our heroes was Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Now, I know that's foreign to a lot of folks, but they had the weekly radio television program. And, man, he was America's heroes for young boys. Cowboys and cowgirls were the thing. I remember getting a cowboy outfit for Christmas and a Roy Rogers guitar.
Oh,
I got
cool.
One, yes. And
do you remember his horse's name?
Trigger.
Do you remember Dale Evans' horse's name?
Buttermilk.
Was it Buttercup or Buttermilk?
Buttermilk.
Buttermilk.
You remember
there
the name of the Jeep? Nellie Bell.
You're right.
You remember name of the dog?
No.
Bullet.
Bullet.
You can ask me anything about Roy Rogers, I get it.
Cool.
But he had 10 rules for cowboys. Guess what one of them was? Mm. Attend Sunday school.
Wow.
That was in the 50s, isn't early 60s. Attend Sunday school. That goes along with what you were just saying.
Yes.
It was promoted by the heroes. Today are not doing that.
I watched The Rifleman and Lucas McCain. Half the time when the shot opens up, he's sitting in his chair, and what's on his lap? The Bible. And do you know what? I was watching Bonanza the other day, and there was some conversation, and they all through the show they were saying, well, the good book says.
Yep.
And you know what? We were a Bible-oriented culture, weren't we?
We were.
And so Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So much just wisdom here. Oh, my goodness, folks. Wisdom.
Chapter 26, I want to jump ahead, and I want to look at verses 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking.
Mm.
Okay, now, I know that's not
crooked,
deep,
crooked.
But it is that way. Oh, I really didn't mean it. When you get caught, I really didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And so
that is something.
Listen, this verse made me think that every idle word will be brought into judgment. Okay? We need to be careful with our mouth, don't we? I mean, that's
really
what it's saying.
And let me just say this, folks. When you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to be under conviction because there's a lot about honesty and truth, selflessness, being a person of integrity, being a person where your word is your bond, you know? And you might be reading this, you might say, well, I've not been this way. I've spoken my mind. I've had a hair trigger temper. I've kind of been slick in my dealings. Well, what you do is you just say, Lord, I admit it. I need to be changed. And we are powerless to change our character ourselves
in
without
our mouth,
God.
Yeah. Our tongue shows it. I've got to read verse 20 along with that, Alex.
Yes.
I think this is close to good to close out on. We got one more program that we're doing on Exploring the Word about Proverbs. But listen to this. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. That's obvious, right?
Right.
You sure. Remember, did you ever camp out as a boy?
Oh,
one of the things we did was go and get the wood and have it there so we would not have to do it. And I learned that the hard way. First time I went camping with some guys, we didn't get enough wood, and in the middle of the night had to go find wood. That's not fun.
No, I've done it.
Yeah, I know. You want food, wood there. But notice that. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no tailbearer, strife ceases. Can gossip stop with you?
It can.
Isn't that a desire?
The cycle can break now.
Can break now, brother. I think that's so important. I think gossip is, all of us have got our pet peeves and our soapboxes. Gossip's one of mine, I have to admit.
Do you remember the old saying, if you don't have something good to say, don't say it.
Don't say anything at all. Exactly. So here, you want to be a tailbearer stopper, okay?
Yeah.
You want to be a gossip stopper. And where there's no wood, the fire goes out. What a statement, Alex. It's just, do you see what he does? He does this so many times, takes something that is so common and gives such a deep meaning to that.
Right, right. Verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Okay, if you're a person who's prone to stretch the truth, as we say, which really is a lie,
yep.
You say things that aren't true. That's like an affliction here. In other words, your lying tongue that is going to be harm to you. We need to treat it almost like a disease to be delivered from.
And the book of James makes that even plainer when you get to it about, you know, it sets on the very fire of hell.
Isn't that something?
I mean, that's how James conveys that, Alex. Gossip's not a light thing. I believe the Bible makes it very serious.
Well, we're up to 26 of the 31 chapters of Proverbs, and we want you to tune in. And Proverbs 26:10, the great God that formed all things rewards the fool and rewards transgressors. We want you to get the reward of righteousness, joy, godliness, and peace through Jesus, who is wisdom embodied. So stay tuned when we continue our look at this.
We are thankful you could listen, and let me remind you, if you've enjoyed this, you can get it more. It's available at afastore.net, and you also get Alex's book about Proverbs. Thank you again for listening to Exploring the Word, and may God bless you and may God enrich you as you let the Word of God dwell in you richly.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.